We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are not ashamed of the divine message for this time. We believe that it is according to the word. And that God watches over his word to fulfill it at the right time. Today I brought with me a few quotes. Before I read them, I would like to read from the Holy Scripture one word. From Romans chapter 16, from verse 25. Romans 16, from verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations.
Manifesté maintenant par les écrits des prophètes, d'après l'ordre du Dieu éternel, et porté à la connaissance de toutes les nations.
To work obedience of faith. A wonderful word. We see it fulfilled even today in all the world. There were certain times of revival in certain parts of the world. This seems to be the time of Africa. The word that we read is confirmed until our time. It is the revelation of the plan of salvation of God. And that what was kept secret since the world began was now made known by the scriptures of the prophets. And according to the commandment of the everlasting God, is made known to all nations for one purpose, to work obedience of faith. Not only to preach, but to work obedience of faith. The word is being preached. It is believed, and we become doers of the word. Therefore, obedience of faith, to believe and to do. For faith without works is dead in itself. I have, as already said, I brought with me some quotes, especially about that, what is happening in these days. You all heard of the earthquake in California, and I was asked, when will it happen? And I may tell you, I know it exactly, before the coming of the Lord. This is enough for us. Day and hour we don't need to know. I read you from the sermon from the 27th of December 64. Look at the earthquakes over here in California. I predict before the coming of the Lord Jesus that God will sink that place.
Que Dieu laissera engloutir cette ville.
I believe that Hollywood and Los Angeles and them filthy places over there that God Almighty will sink them. I would like to emphasize this a bit more in another quote, what Brother Branham said here on the 18th of July, 65. I don't pray for America anymore. She went too far. She is going to sink. Also a strong statement. But I still look for one where he says, "Thus saith the Lord." We don't know when it will happen. We know that it will happen. And also that it will happen before the coming of the Lord. We don't wait for it. We wait for the coming of the Lord. But the scientists predict that it will happen in November of this year. I don't know if it will be like that. I only know that we live in a very special time. I know that if it was ever so close that we are nearing the end, then it is now. And I've said it repeatedly, 77 will come and go. And also the other years that were also somehow hang into the air, also they would come and go. But I have said, when we experience 87, then we have to watch out. The Bible speaks of the end, and the end will come. And we believe that it will be in our generation. And for it, we have biblical reasons, because we see biblical promises fulfilled. Which announce us the things of the end. Probably I didn't even bring the right book with me. I wanted to read some more. Maybe I will still read this one from the sermon, The Rapture. Here Brother Branham says on page 36, "Oh my, I remember just my last message in California. Where I thought I would never go back again. When I predicted that Los Angeles will go beneath the ocean. Thus saith the Lord. It will. She is done. She is washed out. She is finished. What hour? I don't know when. But it will be sunk. Right after that, the earthquakes begin to jolt and bow. Remember, many of you men standing right there. When the angel of the Lord came down right there at the rock, When that light and fire falling from heaven around the rock where we were standing,
um den wir standen vom Himmel herabfiel,
Gestein wurde aus dem rocks flang out of the mountain and falling across there. It blasted three times hard. And I said, judgment will strike the west coast. 2 days after that, Alaska almost sunk. Remember, the same God that said that also said Los Angeles is doomed. She's finished. I don't know when. I can't tell you. As I said before, we don't need to know it. But one thing we have to know, that we not only live in the end time, but at the end of the end time. And we must also know that we have to remain totally sober. Whatever may come, remaining totally sober until the last day, that everyone goes after his work and carry on life as if it would take another 100 years. But to live like it could happen any day. We also emphasize this, that the true believers are sober people. To be a believer never confused anyone. On the contrary, to believe made us sober. And God's word never confused anyone. On the contrary, the word of God straightens us out. It showed us the things which we didn't know. I want to continue to read now. First from the Holy Scripture, and then from this sermon. From Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. From verse 1 to 3. Titus 1. Titus 1. From 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior.
Paul, serviteur de Dieu et apôtre de Jésus-Christ pour la foi des élus de Dieu et la connaissance de la vérité qui est selon la piété, lesquels reposent sur l'espérance de la vie éternelle, remise dès les plus anciens temps par le Dieu qui ne ment point et qui a manifesté sa parole en son temps par la prédication qui m'a été confiée d'après l'ordre de Dieu notre Sauveur.
He manifested his word in due time, always the right word at the right time, namely the word of promise, at that time in which the promises would be fulfilled. Also this we said here, that the New Testament began with Bible prophecy and its fulfillment. And we believe that it will end in this way. We believe what Peter has written. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Everywhere it's about the word. In Romans 16 it was about the word. Here it is about the word. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word. It's about the word. For the word was in the beginning, and the word must be again at the end. In this word, the whole course of the plan of salvation is written. And we just need to watch it, to see it in the fulfillment. When we think about that, what is going on, we can read in Luke 21. Here it says from verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. We don't have to be afraid. When we see all that, then we shall lift up our heads, for we know that our redemption is drawing near. To it I would like to read another word from Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. We usually read always verse 10. Today we read from verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Here the apostle refers to our personal life. When we see that the things take place, then we are required how it is with our holy conversation and godliness. When we think on Enoch, he walked with God. To walk with God means to be in His will. To walk with God means to agree with His word. To walk with God means to believe God. to obediently obey what he says. All who believed God, who walked with God, they found grace before God. To them the will of God was revealed. By this they recognized it, that God is with them. By this we recognize it, that God is with us. When His will is revealed to us from His Word, here it is written, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The Lord says, I am holy, and ye shall be holy. Holy means consecrated to God. Brother Branham lined this out very nicely. He said, consecrated to God, like a vessel that is taken, that is cleansed, and which is then filled to be in the ministry. What we all need is a perfect cleansing, a perfect faith of the Word of God, to agree with God in order to walk with Him. For thus it is written in the prophet Amos, how can two walk together except they agree? They must even walk in lockstep. We must walk in lockstep with God, in conformity with the Word. He who agrees with God, he agrees with His Word. And we make the claim that we believe God's Word as it is written. Whether we always succeeded to live accordingly will most certainly not be the case, but we testify that God has laid a desire into us to really live according to His Word. And not only to live according to His Word, but to directly experience His Word, that it can become a divine reality through us. To this, Brother Branham says, probably also in this sermon, namely, on page 27, in the sermon, The Rapture, here it says, what happens when He pours His Spirit upon His Word? The same when putting water on any other seed. It is quickened and brings forth after its own kind. Amen. The question is, what happens when He pours His Spirit upon His Word? The same when putting water on any other seed. It is quickened and brings forth after its own kind. And then Brother Branham said something very hard. He continues to say, you say, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that you are saved. A very strong word. And we will see it. He takes it back to the scripture. The spirit baptism is biblical. And there, where the word is in the heart, there is the divine seed. And there, new life can come forth. But where the word of God is not there, there it happens like with an earthly rain, that the ground is just getting wet. If there is no seed, also no downpours help, because there is nothing that can come forth. Do you see how important the word is? The word of God must get the first place. And then the Spirit comes upon the word. I read, "See, you are a triple being. Inside of you is the soul. Then comes the spirit. And then the body. In this body you have five senses to contact your earthly home. More they cannot realize. You also got five senses of the spirit. Love, conscience, and so forth. But inside here is your life. That's what you are. Also, this agrees with that what God's word says. And man became a living soul. As God gave breath to man, so God gives us His Spirit to give us His life. Here it continues, Jesus said, "The rain falls on the just and the unjust." I believe that the time has come that we go straight into the faith and really trust God. We don't have to fear anything. And I tell you also why not. Because we received God's word. And because we received God's word, the Spirit will unite with the word and will bring forth in us the divine. If somebody did not receive the word and the Spirit falls, then nothing can come forth. It's just an anointing. Without that, divine life can come forth. I still read from this sermon. Here Brother Branham says, "Watch the bride. The bride is not only washed, she was not only forgiven, but she is justified. Did you ever try to search the word justified to see what it means? Now, for instance, if Brother Green would hear that I drink or do bad things, but then he would find out that I didn't do it, and he would come to me and say, 'I forgive you, Brother Branham,' then I would answer, 'You forgive me? I never done it. What you forgiving me about? But if I'm guilty, then I can be forgiven, yes. But I'm still not just. Because I did it. The word justified means though you never done it at all. Justified. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us so from sin that it's drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He is the only one that can do it. We can't. We can forgive, but not forget. Why do I read this again? To somehow give us this inner liberty. The affliction that we all have is this, that one day we believe and then we believe not. Once we take everything from the hand of God, and then we doubt again. If something comes, the enemy is busy to sow doubts, to bring forth unbelief. Let us believe today that on Calvary a perfect work was done. A divine justification of all them who were redeemed. Nothing remained. The enemy may come and remind you on things which you have done. And Brother Branham says here, we can forgive but not forget. But God has forgotten. He has even thrown all things into the sea of forgetfulness, so that we also don't remember it. He has forgiven. He has justified. He has forgotten it. Being justified in the eyes of God means as if we would never have done it. A justified person before God stands here as if he would never have sinned. Sin cannot be imputed unto him. Blessed is the man whom sin is not imputed. Blessed is he in whose spirit is no guile. He bore our sin. He took upon him our chastisement. By his stripes we were healed. Full forgiveness. Full salvation. When this has become a certainty in us, then a joy will break forth. A thankfulness. A jubilation. And then God can continue to bless. But this is necessary so that we can thank without remembering the things which God has forgotten. When God has forgotten them because he has totally forgiven them, why then should we still remember them? The enemy will come. He will accuse. He will blame. He will dig out the past again. Let us live in the presence of God. Not in your and in my past, but in the presence of God. And then we will get happy. Then joy will fill our heart. It still continues. I could forgive you, but I would always remember that you have done these evil things to me. Then you are not just. You are only forgiven. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. Amen. She stands there to be married to the virtuous Son of God. She never sinned in the first place. This is very powerful. She never sinned in the first place. In the eyes of God, we have only been pulled into the fall. We were not destined for it. We are destined to have eternal life. But through Adam, the sin came upon all. She never sinned in the first place. Why not? Because she was foreordained. She just fell into the trap. When she heard the truth and came forth, the blood cleansed her, and she stands there virtuous. There is no sin on her at all. Is this the gospel? Amen. Amen. This is the full gospel. This is the full salvation. This is the perfect divine truth. Not your and my patchwork, but God's all-embracing work of redemption, which is perfect. It is written, every good and perfect gift comes from God, from the Father of lights, with whom is no shadow of turning, no darkening, also not of the biblical truths. With God is light. God is light. God is truth. God is spirit. And if we are in the presence of God, then we are well. It does good to us. Why? Because we believe. We believe what God has said. We believe what God has done. And we receive and accept it. And we walk our way with the Lord. You all have this sermon. And you most certainly can read it. I would like to read something more of the bride, namely from the same sermon, page 36. I remember that night, before I seen that, I seen the preview of the bride. I stood there and seen a beautiful little lady, just correctly dressed, and things marching this way. There was somebody standing me in the vision, and I seen, they said, the preview of the bride. I seen her go by. They come on this side and went around. I heard it coming up, the church coming up from this other side. There came the Asian church. Oh, you talk about filth. Then came the European Church. Then I heard a rock and roll coming, and it was Miss America, the church. She didn't have on any clothes. She had papers, like newspapers, gray, held in front of her, dancing by rock and roll, Miss America, the church. I will read on just now. Did you get the difference? First, it was about the bride. She came from the one side and went to the other. And then it was about the church. She came from the other side and went this way. In which direction do we go? Where do we belong? Only to the church or to the bride? Do we hear what the Spirit says unto the churches? Are we on the way into the right direction? I know there are people who don't even know the difference between church and bride. They write and preach against it. But there is a bride, and there is a church, and the message goes forth to the whole church. And whoever has ears to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, he comes out and agrees with God and his word, and overcomes then by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. I read on. I stood there in his presence. I thought, O God, as a minister, is this the best we could come up with? Oh. You know how you feel. Then I thought, O God, hide me. If I could just get away from here. If that is all what we have done, what we produced, when these women passed by, they were doing all kinds of rock and roll. They had short hair, painted faces. That's how they passed by. And supposed to be virgins to Christ. When they passed by like that, I turned my head. You know, with this holding in front of me, their backside was disgraceful. They passed by. I said, O God, I can't look at it. Let me die. Let me fade away. Who can understand this? So much he preached. So great things God has done. Great signs and wonders happened. The greatest ministry that has ever been here on earth since the day of Jesus. Great things the people witnessed. There was no lack of it. Where was the lack? As Brother Branham said clearly, it's also written here in this sermon, he always knew when he started with his ministry that it's not only about signs and wonders, but that it's about the message. This he knew even when the message was not yet preached. And all who came into the meetings, they were enthused, overwhelmed about the things they have seen. But then, when the word was brought, they went on their own ways, as it was then with the Lord. When the sick were healed, when the bread was multiplied, when great signs and wonders happened, then the masses came to the thousands. And when the word came forth, they left and followed the Lord no more. Here it continues, I looked, and here come that sainted bunch of little girls, like at the beginning. You noticed, as I already said, first he saw the bride, then the church, and then again the bride. And he sees the bride at the end like he saw her at the beginning. This has much to say to me. The end must be like the beginning was, in every way. And we will experience the same things. All were correctly dressed, their hair hanging way down in their back, smooth, clean. They were marching like this to the step of the gospel. Amen. They were marching to the step of the gospel in conformity with the word of God, in lockstep. We must come into this lockstep. We must see the same, believe the same. We have to walk in lockstep. Here it continues, she was the Word. You know, this statement I could not understand for a long time. And it could have happened to me that I many years ago somehow bypassed it. And maybe to say they had the Word instead of she was the Word. I at least assume, because it's hard to be understood. Maybe I translated it well. What does it mean here? She was the Word. You all know there's a place, dear Brother Branham says, Moses was the Word. If one thinks about it, looking at it in the light of the Word, then there was a promise. After 400 years, I will deliver your descendants out from this land. It was a word of promise. And when the time was at hand, the Lord appeared unto Moses, and he became one with the Word. It was fulfilled through him. He agreed with it. You see what it is about? As the Word was fulfilled on Christ, and he was the Word, so the Word is fulfilled on the Church, and she herself becomes a part of the Word. John was a part of the Word, Because in the word it is written, a voice cries in the wilderness. He was this voice. He said it. I am the voice. He was a part of the word. The church is a part of the word. We have become one with the word. We are in the word, and the word is in us. The word is spirit and life. And also we must have spiritual life. I read on. They looked like one out of every nation. I was looking at them as they passed by. I seen them pass by. But instead of going down, they started going up. Then I noticed one of them trying, two or three of them trying, getting out of line. I screamed, "Stay in line." Then the vision left me, and I was standing in the room, screaming, "Stay in line." What does it mean, stay in line? Conformity. With whom? With God. With His Word. Not with the interpretation, but with God. With His Word. Staying in line. For everything else, God will take care. Brother Branham continues here. I asked myself, could it be already passed? Could the bride already be called? Is that what we are going through today? She has to be molded and made into the image of Christ. And Christ is the Word. That's the only thing. See, it's in there, in the Word. There cannot be one thing added. This we believe. We believe that nothing can be added to the Word. You can remember the example when Brother Branham spoke about that everything brings forth after its own kind. A man is a man. An animal is an animal. Everything produces own cells. It's not something from here and from there. Everything is in the original. Everything brings forth after its own kind. There is a divine kind, a divine kindred. There are sons and daughters of God. And we are brought forth after the kind of Christ, being begotten by the same Spirit, by the same Word. We have the same life as sons and daughters of God. Sometimes we look at ourselves, on our outward, and forget what God has done in us. Let us become aware what God has done in us, what He has done on us, and that what is still left outwardly, this He will still do, namely at the appointed time, when He will return to take His own home. For those who sleep in Christ, they will come forth first, and then we will be changed. How many believe it? I believe it with all my heart. God said it. This word came forth from His mouth. He can never take it back. It stays like that. God said it. That's how it will be. The bride is a part of the bridegroom. The woman is a part of her husband, because she is taken out of the husband. Eve was a part of Adam, from his side, and so is the bride. She is not taken from a denomination, but taken from the bosom of the Word of God for this day, coming forth directly from the Word. It cannot be emphasized enough. Back to the Word. Back to the Holy Scripture. I was very grateful for some remarks that were made about the last brochure. It is written. In French, it will be published soon. That's what it's about now. That's what it's about now. Not only to use scriptures, but to place them correctly, to put them there where they belong. Like Paul has written, be a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, because he rightly divides the word of truth. Brother Branham says here in one place, of the ministries that were set into the church, that they all have their specific areas of responsibility. And he also says that everyone realizes his part, without that somebody else can take his place. Of the pastor, he says, the pastor is a special person. In German, shepherd. He is shaped that way that he is able to settle disputes between the people. He is one who bears the burdens. He is the ox in the team. You know what this means, the pack animal, he who has to carry much. It's a biblical word. One of the four living creatures looked like it. I can nothing for it. It continues here. He is a man who can sit down, and if there is something among the people, for instance, between two families, then he doesn't take any side. No, he stands between them. And for this reason, he can bring them together in love. He is a pastor. He knows that he has to take care for these things. The evangelist is a special man. He is like a burning fireball. He goes into a city, he preaches his message, and goes somewhere else. He is a special man. The teacher is a special man. He sits down, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he is able to take the words and to put them together by the Holy Spirit. The pastor or the evangelist, not one of them, can be compared to him. The Apostle is a special man. He is the one who brings things into their order. He is a man sent from God to put the things in order. The prophet is a special man. A prophet is a man to whom the word of the Lord comes. Because a prophet is made in his life in such a way that he is very close together in his subconsciousness and in his consciousness. Whether he sleeps or sees while awake, whether he dreams or not, it is him who sees things that are coming. The true prophet, he puts things in order from God. He will never make compromises. He will put in order line by line. This is the reason why God used the spirit of Elijah in such a way. It is the spirit who brings things in order. And always he goes back to the word. To this we say Amen. And again Amen. And again Amen. Different ministries, one and the same spirit, different tasks, but a variety that has to be managed. And one and the same spirit, one Lord and one God, who works all in all. Let me, in closing, from 2 Peter 3, some verses. From verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We are in expectation of these things, in great expectation. And I believe it gets stronger and stronger in us. And also here we are exhorted to be diligent, to be found of him without spot and blameless, in peace. The peace of God is higher than all understanding of men. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Do you have the text? It is verse 15. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Paul was a wise master builder. To him things were revealed, which others did not see before him. He speaks much about mysteries. We are grateful to God for it, that he had men to whom he could reveal that what was necessary at that point of time. Here it speaks of the coming of the Lord, of the word of God, of the preparation, and that we should be diligent to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Is this possible? Yes, it is possible under the blood of the Lamb, because God cannot impute anything to us. But I believe that God has also given us this longing to not knowingly make ourselves guilty. It is enough if you unconsciously do things that you don't want to do. But I don't believe that a child of God consciously does anything or even sins willfully, so acting against the word of God, transgressing the word. No, we have become a part of the word. And because we have become a part of the word, therefore we have the desire to live out this word, to act and walk accordingly. And the same God who put the desire in us also gave the grace for perfection. We just believe it, that he who started will also finish unto the day of Jesus Christ. What may not be perfected today will be perfected on the day of Jesus Christ, at the latest when we see him. For thus it is written, we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. This is God's word. For this we are longing for. And we want that his well-pleasing rests on us, so that we also can be taken up. May God give grace that we belong to the bride, being in conformity with his word, being dressed. When Brother Branham saw the church presented as beautiful ladies, the word woman is symbolized in prophecy as the church. But these ladies were not dressed. They just covered the shame of their nakedness. But the bride was dressed. No short hair, long hair. You know what we mean. Obedient in every point. No inner rebellion. On the contrary, a direct connection to the word. A longing to do accordingly, regardless of what people say. Do you have this longing? Do we all have it? To do the will of God with all our heart. Not only to believe, but to do accordingly. To be a doer of the word. May God bless his word on us, making it alive, and revive it by his Spirit, that it can really be manifested, that we are a part of the word, a part of the calling out, having part in the preparation, having part in the restoration, being a part of the word and its fulfillment in this time, as others at other times had part in that what God did at that time, so we have part in that what God is doing now. And for this, we want to thank him with all our heart. Do you all believe it? For this, God has sent his word to let us know what he promised And after we believe it, we have fulfilled the condition that it can happen, and it will happen. For all the promises of God are yes and amen, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for his honor and glory. We believe it with all our heart. May God bless his word on us and bring it forth unto new life. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word. It does not return void. It accomplishes for what you have sent it for. Lord, we believe that you revealed unto us the promises for a specific purpose, to call out the bride, for only she will respond to it. All the others will resist. They will walk on their own ways and think to make it. But your people, your blood-bought multitude, your bride, will agree with you and with your word. Lord, bless all who have raised their hands. Come and meet us, my God. Give redemption, deliverance, healing, and baptize with spirit and fire. Lord, we received your word. It is in our hearts. Pour your spirit upon it, so that it can come forth unto new life, divine life. Bless us all, and with us all your people, all over the earth. Faithful Lord, do great things and finish your work. Do it shortly and come soon. We thank you for this evening, and we ask you with all our heart that you also give back the five ministries. Lord, you have set them into the church. They belong into it. Give us brothers who carry out these ministries. Lord, it belongs to it. We simply believe that you will do it. Blessed be your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.